This is What About Work podcast, where we talk about all things work and how you can succeed in your careers. Every week, I answer some of the questions you may have when it comes to work and how you can grow and thrive in the workplace. Whether it is you're just starting out or if you're well into it, you will absolutely love it. I'm your host, Adekunbi, and you're listening to What About Work. Hello, everyone. You're welcome to another exciting episode of What About Work podcast. I really want to say thank you for all your listening as well as all the emails we receive every single day. We're extremely grateful for that. Today's another guest episode, and I have someone so amazing. You're going to be listening to Olatomi Kolawole. She's the manager, brand management for Extreme Ideas, and she has over 5 years work experience in the digital media space, social media management, and she's really top notch. And we get to talk about her current work as well as her previous experiences from university and how she connected it to where she currently is today. One of the things that I really liked about this interview is that we were able to get out the things that made our standouts, the decisions as well as the specific landmarks that helped her transition to the woman she currently is today. She talked a bit about friendships, she talked a bit about our work as an entrepreneur and then going back to a 9-to-5. That was really an interesting conversation. I'm sure you would really enjoy it. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Hey, hello, Tommy. You're welcome to What About Work podcast. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. I'm sure it's going to be hot.
Yeah. Hi, Kumbi. It's so nice to be here. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. So let me just get right into it. I'd like my audience to know more about you. Please tell me, your educational background, what's you're currently doing as well.
No problem. My name is Olatomi Kolawole, and I'm obviously female. I hope that you can see that, or you can hear that through my voice, that I'm female. I'm my mother's last child and the fourth child, born and bred here in Lagos, Nigeria. I love food. I like tech. I enjoy other people's culture, and I enjoy new places as well. So I enjoy traveling. I like music. And when I say traveling, minus the plane ride or the car rides, I like to travel. what else? I'm living intentionally. So I think that's one huge thing for me, is the fact that I'm living intentionally. And by saying this, I think that my faith drives everything that I do. As a human being, I'm a marketing and communications expert. I like to call myself that. So I'll take you through my career. So my university degree is in computer science from Babcock University. I graduated in 2012. And from there, I was basically launched into marketing, but it was digital marketing. And it's funny because back in uni, I used to laugh at marketing students because I'm like, why are you coming to school to learn marketing? Like, who wants to learn marketing in school? But then, lo and behold, I was launched into digital marketing. And how I got into digital was even funny because the company had seen my social media pages back then in 2013. And they said, oh, we enjoy how you tweet. We like your blog, because I had started a blog during my undergraduate days, and we see that you write well. How about you just come be a social media manager? So that's how I started, as a social media manager. And it was all fun and games, because I studied computer science and I was thinking, oh, I'm going to be a database manager. I'm going to go learn SQL and etc. But lo and behold, life had other things planned for me. And so that's how I really started. So from being a digital marketing personnel, I moved on to, you know, starting my own digital marketing business as well. And I ran that for 4 years and moved on to working with a multinational, which was in influencer marketing. So it was still marketing and communications. And I think that my love for communication started way before uni. So growing up, I had always been that talkative child. I had always been that person in literary and debates club. I had always been that forward person growing up. And even how I started studying computer science in school was, it was because I didn't know what I wanted to study in the university. I had gone through sciences in secondary school, and I had come out like top in my class in the sciences. And for the life of me, I probably thought I was going to be a medical doctor until last minute I changed my mind and said I wasn't going to go to uni lab to study medicine. And my sister was like, okay, fine, maybe you should come to my school, because she was in Babcock University at the time. I said, maybe you should come to my school. So like, if I come to your school, what am I going to study? And she goes, well, I'll check out courses. It seems like computer science is the in thing now. Maybe you should study computer science. So that's really how I got into Babcock University and just studied computer science, which is really a good thing, because I am a tech this year. Like, I really do love my tech and I do know my gadgets. And, you know, aside from the coding part, which I hate so much, every other thing is fine. So I moved on from influencer marketing, which is a type of marketing, to brand management in advertising. So in brand management, and I'm currently taking courses in product management, because so I can already see where I'm moving to, even when I'm going to transition from where I currently am in a few maybe months, maybe years time. I can already see where I want to go, which is in which is product marketing. But right now I'm in brand management in advertising. So that's where I currently am.
Oh, this is so good. This is good. Yeah, I really liked how you broke it down, especially from that point where you mentioned how you even studied computer science. How easy. Someone said, oh, I think that's the in thing now. Maybe you should just jump on it. And sometimes this is literally our lives. This is how we make that decision. I remember speaking at an event one time, and it was an high school event. And so this girl comes around me and I say, oh, fantastic. So tell me, what you're about to go into college. What do you want to read? And she said, philosophy. So I said, okay, that's interesting. Why do you want to do philosophy? And that's because I started out in philosophy. And I actually moved to law. I started over in law. So I spent 2 years actually studying philosophy. So she was talking to the right person. So I said, why do you want to study philosophy? And she paused, and all of a sudden, she couldn't answer. So I said, do you have any siblings studying philosophy? And she said, yeah. So I helped her to understand that, okay, that may have been where that decision stems from. So that's just interesting to see how very pivotal decisions can come out of interesting narratives of, oh, I like that my auntie, she wears lovely dresses. So I what she's studying, I'm going to study that exact thing that she's studying. And hopefully I can wear lovely dresses as beautiful as that. And then you get to this point where all your life is literally unfolding and you're seeing how, what's the things that really interest you. I really want to know, what point of your life did you get that flash, or that, you know, that point where you say, okay, this looks like 5 things that Tomi is fantastic at doing. If you get what I mean. I know it doesn't happen once. It's not a Eureka moment where you get everything you want in life. But at what point in time, what conversations did you have? What people did you have around you? Are there things within your environment that catapulted certain things about you? Especially when you said you're living intentionally.
Okay. So this is a really good question. And this is why it's important to surround yourself with good people, people who have right intentions towards you. So during my youth service, immediately after my youth service, I worked at an IT company. I had left social media management and I said, you know what, I studied computer science, you know, by force, I must, you know, have a career in this thing. So I went to work at an IT company. And I was training and, you know, learning SAP and all of those things back then. But the good thing about this company was that the owners of the company, the managing director and the board of directors, were solid Christians. And so they took an interest in their staff as people, not as their staff. So we would have sessions, like they would have, you know, just talk sessions, like simple 1 hour 30 or 30 minute sessions with each staff at random, and say, oh, maybe they come to your table and say, oh, I want to talk to you today. Just come into my office for a quick 30 minutes. Let's just catch up. And so these were one of the few people around me who pushed me into you know, loving digital and even into being an entrepreneur in the first place. So they had seen where I was coming from, which was social media management. And even while I was at the office, they could tell, you know, because I was opening pages for some people, helping them handle this etc. And when I decided that it was time for me to leave the organization and, you know, I wanted to just freelance, honestly, I wasn't going to start a business. I just wanted to freelance social media. And, you know, one of my bosses said, you should take this up as a business, you know. And I'm like, you mean I'm going to hire people? And he goes, yes, what's wrong with hiring people and making and, you know, creating sources of income from these people for other people? So that's one area, one source. That has pushed me into what I would say, you know, being intentional. Is people just genuinely saw my talent. And I'll be honest with you, most times I didn't know what I had in me. Like, I couldn't see it. It's mostly people who are around, even till date right now as I speak. I have a very, very close friend right now whom 2 years ago were just regular friends. And something that could have marred our friendship brought us really close together. Like, we had, you know, of course, like every other friendship, we had an argument, and I have lost friendships as a result of, you know, little things like this. But this person saw something different in me and decided, you know, she was going to apologize, and we became really close friends. So this year she's been a huge rock in that. I opened my website up for mentorship this year, and she was one of the people who made me do it. She's like, Tomi, you've been talking about this thing since I met you. You've still not done it. So how about you start that website that you wanted to start? So there's so many things that, you know, people around me saw in me or see in me that have made me, okay, test it. And then when it works, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should just follow in this path. So I would say for me, primarily, it's the people that I surround myself with. It's not me, really.
This is good. This is really good. Another thing that is really catching my fancy in what you said today is you've actually moved from studying computer science to working in IT, if you get what I mean. And then you started unraveling to your own self and to your own career, you know. But the beautiful thing about it is you've actually gone into entrepreneurship, and you did that for 4 years.
Yes, I did.
So, and now you got back into working full time. It doesn't happen to a lot of people, you know, the decision, it takes a lot of, you know, strength.
Courage.
And courage. Especially because of what people will say and how they will say. But this is your life. This is you finding what will work. And even though you're an entrepreneur, it doesn't necessarily mean you've hit your career goals. As a person. So you making that decision to work within another organization is extremely easy to do, so to speak. There's nothing bad about it. So I just want to know what was on your mind, especially where you were making that decision, and what you wanted to get out of where you currently are and where you're going to.
Okay. So working as an entrepreneur, there were so many doors that I couldn't get through. So there were so many relationships that I didn't have, right? I was working with small businesses. At some point, I was, you know, training for Google in Nigeria. And I was, you know, traveling for even Google, like within Nigeria, to train other people and, you know, professionals, etc. But at the same time, there were some doors that weren't opening up. And so that's how I even started working at the multinational, the influencer marketing company. So I had spoken to a friend and I was talking about, I think I would really like to work in a multinational to see how, you know, big deals are done or big deals are being made. And, you know, I just really would like to have the backing of, you know, a huge body etc. And he just, you know, oh, that's true. Somebody had sent me this email. You should check it out. I'll contact them for you. And, you know, if you're the right fit, you'll get hired. And so within a few weeks, I got the role. And, you know, I was running. So I was in business development for a multinational in Nigeria as their only staff. I never met my colleagues. And I did this for almost a year before I moved into my current role, which is brand management at Extreme Ideas, which is Nigeria's number one advertising company right now. And my transition from there here was as a result of I wanted to be able to manage several departments or several people in several departments at the same time, and to understand how that organizational flow works properly. So I didn't get that satisfaction at Indahash, because which is the influencer marketing company, because I was working remotely. But with Extreme Ideas, I have that ability right now. Like, I know who my colleagues are. I can pick up the phone and call them, even though we're in the lockdown right now. But, you know, I know everybody's strengths. I've built that solid relationship. You know, when things were normal, because nothing is normal right now, when things were normal, I would go into their offices. We would have a proper brainstorm session. And then from then we'll move, you know, go brief the clients and, you know, have those meetings. I also wanted to build customer relationship, like how to manage your clients, how to manage stakeholders. So those are the things that somebody asked me this question, and I said about you know, my career path, because the person noticed that he said, oh, you only worked here for like a few months, and you're talking like you're probably going to leave advertising soon. I'm like, oh, I don't look at my career as, oh, 2 years here, 5 years here, 10 years there. No, that's not how I see it. I look at it as, what am I going to learn and what am I going to give? So the moment I have hit what I'm going to learn, then I start giving, like, have I hit what I'm here to give? Have I, you know, exhausted that? The moment I have exhausted both what I'm here to learn and what I'm here to give, I become, you know, fidgety, like, okay, on to the next. What's the next thing? What are the next experiences I'm trying to gather or trying to garner? And so that's been it for me through, and that's what it is with my career. So, you know, there are good days, there are bad days, but being able to, you know, work on that, this pressure, because it's a lot of pressure, especially when you're in brand management, because you have so many internal stakeholders and you have your external stakeholders as well. And being a middle manager, it's, you know what they talk about, they say about middle managers, like, you know, you're not the boss, but you're some other people's bosses as well. So you're some other people's boss as well. So it's being able to understand and being able to balance this. And, you know, for me, like I mentioned, it's a learning and a growth. It's about growth for me. It's not about goals per se. It's growth for me.
Wow. This is so good. This is so good, Tomi. I'm enjoying this a lot. Yeah. I guess my next question is, I know you've worked with a lot of young people. As not just...
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Not just that you're a young person, you've also worked with, and you consistently give back. In terms of whatever you think you've learned, no matter how tiny it is, you're very quick to do the same to other people.
Yes.
So what would you say when you look at all the different angles of digital marketing, social media, IT, your computer science degree, your current role as a brand manager, and even your industry now in advertising, what would you say are those big gaps, things that a young person should be... If you had a younger sister, you say, come, this is what is the hint thing. You need to get up, take a course, move in that direction right now. What would that thing be? Or what would those things be?
Okay, so advertising is quite huge, right? In advertising, there's, you know, above the line. So we have the TV, there's print, there's radio, there's BTL. In BTL, that's below the line. We have outdoor advertising, there are billboards, flyers, you know. There's PR, there's press conferences and video interviews. Then there's digital, which is something I've done before. And then there's influencer marketing, and there are all sorts. For me, everybody has a place in advertising. Like, you can fit into at least one role in advertising. So I'm very quick to tell young people to take short courses, whether it's a 1 week course, 3 months course, take short courses in things that interest you in advertising. In advertising, there are lawyers. There are certain lawyers who are just focused on the advertising environment or the advertising industry. They're accountants. You know, they're just different people from different walks of life in the same advertising. So I wouldn't say that, you know, there's just one thing. So for instance, in the organization that I work with, we have sister companies. We have sister companies. So we have a media buying company, we have a print production company, we have a media production team, and all these people I work with on a daily basis. So whether it's handing the camera to produce something, or whether you're the DJ, or you're the mixer, you're the editor at the production company, whether you are the creative or the arts director designing illustrations and graphics for our various clients, there is something for everyone. The easiest, or the behind the scenes guys that I love so much, are the media buying people. So these guys are the ones who are sitting behind the laptops, and they're looking at the various means of advertising. So whether it's billboards, or whether it's or it's radio, and they're looking at all the stations and trying to decipher which station, the audiences that fit certain stations, and they advise me, the brand manager, on where my brand should run their ads on radio or on TV, or what time slots they should use. So there's something for everybody in advertising. I think that's the major reason why I'm currently enjoying my role, is because I'm interacting every day with different types of people who are doing different things. And as a brand manager, it's my duty to understand what everybody's doing, so that when I'm talking to my clients, my client doesn't talk to all these people, they just talk to me. So I need to understand what all these people are doing. And I think that's the major reason why I enjoy it. And it's easy for any young person to pick one part that they do enjoy, whether it's designing, whether it's managing social media, whether it's production or print production, or it's video production, whether it's making, maybe it's voiceover for, the jingles, whatever it is, there's something for everybody in advertising, basically.
Okay. So I'm going to walk you backwards a bit to where you were in Babcock. And I want you to put yourself, with all the things you know now, mm-hmm. about life, about careers, about management, about leadership, about mentoring, about every mm-hmm. single thing you know that makes you amazing. If you had to just hindsight now, not necessarily, I'm not asking you to correct anything you've done in the past. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. if you had to advise someone who's young, who's in first year in school, no idea about what to do with their lives, but they just like this feel of everything that you've said, or a bit of piece over there, what would you say should be that career thoughts? What should be going through their minds in terms of the future of work from where they see now, sitting down? What should they be thinking? Okay. What should they be doing? What's the side hustle or the side career goal, so to speak, that they need to do to get them to anywhere they want to get to?
Okay. Gratefully, I'm not going to change anything that I've been through. So I would say that people need to look at what interests them as humans. And I like to think that every human being is unique, and it's important for every one of us to explore our uniqueness. And I think it's something that I did really well when I was younger. So I ran a blog because I like to write. I was public relations officer for Babcock University Computer Club during my time. And that's because I was outspoken. So there are little ways by which you can explore the things that you enjoy. If, for instance, such a person likes to draw, or somebody likes to illustrate, pick it up, do it, and post it up on your social media. And the good thing now about the future of work is that it's digital. And coronavirus has shown everybody that we can work from home, has shown everyone that, you know, it's possible. It's easy and it's possible. Yes, it's possible to work from home. I like that social media, I can't call it a meme. There's this post that went viral during COVID when it just hit, and he read who was responsible for your company's
transformation
development or something. Exactly. And it says your CEO, your CTO, or COVID-19. The answer was COVID-19. So we don't have to wait for COVID-19 to improve on what you're doing digitally. I'll say go online, watch YouTube videos. I'm constantly watching YouTube videos about everything and anything of interest. Yeah. Because you don't know, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't exactly have influencers in Nigeria. Like, what is an influencer? But people are making millions of naira being influencers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And why? How are they influencers? It's because they have a certain number of following. Why do they have that certain number of following? It's because they are offering things to these people. They're either funny or they have they're very smart and provide maybe mental health talks or whatever. And as a result, they've amassed a number of followers, and brands that need them can see that they've amassed this number of followers, and as a result, they're called influencers. It starts where you are, whatever it is. Go online, there's somebody who is doing what you're doing in a different part of the world. Go online and you'll find such a person. And you can always emulate that and bring it to, you know, your own environment. So that's my advice to my younger self or to anyone who is in the university, basically.
Amazing, amazing. Because sometimes what I find is people are so far off from that place they want to be. And, mm-hmm. and that worries them in making that next move. They just feel, I'm still 6 years down the line. But you don't understand that the little things you do today is what will, you know, get you to that place. And yes. You said your first job was literally someone contacting you saying you were writing your blog as well as you were running your own social media platform. And what a way to kickstart your entire life and your big career from that point in time. Yeah. So now I just wanted to shake some tables in the PR. in the world, in the brand management space, in the
YouTube,
in the podcasting, because like this is the future of where everything is going, where a brand who is maybe like myself and my brand manager and all the things that people do in PR, people are breaking those tables. They're breaking those status and limitations of going to have to meet a CEO of a company to be able to reach a particular client. So what would you say is the future of your work? Where do you see it going? Where do you see it changing, if you see what I mean?
Where do I see advertising changing?
Exactly.
Okay, so I think that it's important that advertising companies and, you know, big conglomerates start to work as small companies within a huge organization. And here's what I mean. So Google, as a multinational, empowers their staff, and everyone who works at Google, you know, they work like they're entrepreneurs. So they have different departments. So even if you're in, let's say, for instance, you're in like digital skills for Africa, for instance, there are so many members of staff cut across various parts of Africa. That's number one.
Yeah.
But number two, they're all working collaboratively. So they're working in collaboration with one another, and they're working as a team, as another company within a company. So until big companies are able to empower their staff to to work like they are entrepreneurs, like they own the business, the small boys will keep pushing, and they'll still feel threatened by the small guys, which is good because even the small guys have to make some money and cash out and become big companies, and hopefully they'll keep that thing that made them grow huge. So I think that many times when organizations become really huge, they forget how they started. It's the ones who remember how they started that really, you know, push and become and stay relevant for a long while. And it's important to always work lean. So right now, thanks to COVID and thanks to work from home, many organizations, you know, post-COVID or post the lockdown, will start to see that it is possible for us to work from home, and maybe our staff should, you know, work 3 times a week rather than coming 5 times a week. You know, if we had brought this to HR in January, they would have said, oh, no, it can't work. But, you know, COVID has shown that this can work. So I would say that the big boys need to start thinking like the small guys. Mm. The small guys are lean. They're fast. So can you empower your people to be entrepreneurs, to make certain decisions without the big guy signing it off all the time? Can you empower more people within your organization to, you know, not have to call on you when they need to make fast decisions, and you can trust them that they'll make the right decision, basically? So I think that's how the big organizations need to function, especially as a result of these times.
Wow, interesting. This is good. Yeah. So what about skills for work? What kind of skills do you think anyone who wants to work in advertising should build right now? If you can, you know, if you can point us in any tools, resources.
Direction.
Yes, okay. That would be fantastic.
Okay, so for skills for work, for digital skills, it's very easy, especially if you're in Africa. So Facebook has Facebook Blueprint. Twitter has Twitter Flight School. Google has Digital Skills for Africa. They have the Google Cloud platform. They have the Google Academy for Ads. And all of these things are free. Now, to paid resources, there are sites like Pluralsight, Pluralsight, SIGHT.com. There is Udemy. Udemy has beautiful courses in advertising. There's Coursera, and these people have free courses. I always say that, you know, when you're testing the waters, take free courses. It could be 1 week, it could take you 3 days. Build your interest in it. Oh, is this something that I would like to pursue? You can take free courses for like one full year, plenty free courses, before you finally pay for one course. Like, before you pay for like that one serious course that, but you've gone through free courses that have enlightened you, that have made you see more depth in, you know, that thing. It's not just flimsy, it's not just surface. Mm. So you need to take courses. Taking courses, I can't testify, or I can't, you know, toot the horns of taking courses and what online courses have done for me. Because I still just have my, you know, first degree, my Bachelor of Science degree. I don't have a master's degree yet. And I'm considering getting a master's degree, but I'm not getting a master's degree because I quote unquote need it. It's not a pressing issue. And that's because over the years, every year I'm taking new certifications and new courses. There's also the CIM, so there's Chartered Institute of Marketing exam that we can take. I know that Simon Page offers that, and then DCI, there's Digital Marketing Institute, so you can take that. There's that course as well. So all of these people have paid courses, free courses to help boost your career. This year I sat on the interview board. We were hiring new people into the digital team at the office, and I sat on the board for, you know, the interview board, and, you know, my own focus was what courses have you taken? Yes, you have this skill and that skill, but how do I know that you truly have these skills if you don't have certificates to prove that you have these skills? And I'm not even talking about, you know, certificates that you paid for. I'm talking about the free courses that you've taken. Can you just tell me what free courses you've taken? Because when you take a course, then it means that you, your heart is in it. It means that you're interested in that thing. That's why you would sit through watching videos and, you know, doing tests and whatever online. So for me, taking that step in getting certified or getting, you know, the participation, what's it called now? The certificate of participation is important because you put in those hours. You took some free tests online. So these things are available online. So these are some tools. Yes.
Interesting. So let me just follow up to what you said about that interview you had, because that was going to be my next question. When you're sitting on that board and trying to hire someone, have you ever gotten to a point where you keep going through that interview and you can't find that person? Or is there a specific skill that you're always looking for? Is there a specific skill that is always in demand by people in your industry?
Okay, so having digital marketing skills. So some digital marketing skills include whether you're an SEO, whether you're great with SEO, so that's search engine optimization, or you're great with media buying, or you're good at social media management, or it's content marketing. So it depends on the type of role that we're trying to fill. So that's with digital. So the interview board that I have mostly sat on in my organization has been digital, and that's because they know that I have a strong digital background. So when we're hiring, I'm asking, okay, so what do we lack on our digital team? Okay, so we don't have a good content creator. Okay, so that's what we're looking at for. Maybe the next time we're hiring, we don't have a good SEO management isn't on point. The people who are currently handling it lack certain skills and don't have the time to garner those skills. So, okay, who already readily has that skill? Who is focused on that particular skill? Let's hire that person. So these are certain skill sets that we look out for. I know that when I was being hired as a brand manager, one of the skills that they were looking for was being able to manage people. So time management. So there are soft skills that are so important. So I was giving, you know, like a test. So this is the document, this is the strategy, this is the brief, what exactly, so how would you go about it? And then I had to walk them through how I would, you know, behave in that situation, and how many days I would assign to getting these visuals done, and when I would give my customer feedback, and when I would give my boss this, and when I would pass it on to the next. So they were looking for time management skills, and they were looking for people management skills. So what happens if the arts director who's working on this, you know, isn't motivated? How do you motivate such a person? What do you get that person to do? You know, because these are things that I go through every day. My arts director is creating a visual and it's taking him, you know, 2 days to do something that would typically take him 4 hours to do. What exactly is going on? Does he need to sleep? Does he need to eat? Does he need to be in a different environment? Does he need to go listen to music or do something, you know, creative that is outside of work, you know, that's to be able to do the work? So I'll cut him some slack and he says, oh, Tommy, you know what? I need to sleep for like 2 hours, or I need to, you know, just play games for like, I need that creative juice. I need to go watch YouTube videos for, you know, for a certain, so all of those things I have to consider in when I'm giving my customer feedback, or when I'm giving my clients feedback, or so when I'm promising my client, oh, I'll give feedback in 1 week. In that 1 week, I have considered that my art director might say he's not motivated. So add that time period into, you know, what, when you, so all of those things are so important. And it depends on what role, it depends, because, you know, at different times, we're looking for different skill sets, depending on the role that we're trying to fill. Yes.
Okay. This is good. All right. So as we just finalize all of this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess my question is, how do you see a young person who is considered so many career paths, who is trying to make a transition into the advertising space? Maybe they came from accounting, but they just generally have, all they have are interests in this field. How do you think they can transfer their skills, and as well as, you know, find their way into an industry such as yours?
Okay. So, two things. The first thing is every human being is creative. The advertising world is a creative world. Every human being is creative. There is something you might like to write or draw or scribble or cook up stories or whatever. So that's number one. Then number two, there's something that I would, you know, applaud my organization for doing, and that's internship. We hire interns a lot. And that's because some people write or some people come for, you know, interviews and say they'll just really like to intern because they don't exactly know where they'll fit in. So they come in for 3 months or 6 months, depending on how much time they have, and intern. So when you're interning, you're seeing how everything is being done, and then you can find where your interest is. And I think that's one of the things that has really worked for me, internships. So days, even for my 100 level, my summer holiday, throughout the duration in uni, every summer holiday, I worked, I interned. I started at one IT company in 100 level summer. 200 level summer, I worked with another IT company. 300 level summer, I worked at, you know, an ATM company. By 400 level, you know, every summer I interned because I just needed to know what I liked. And it's very important. I think that in your 20s, I don't think people should get judged by, you know, staying in an organization for 6 months or 4 months and then moving on. Because especially when you're in your 20s, this is the only time that you can really explore. And I don't think you should feel bad about it because you're trying to understand yourself and know yourself better. And, you know, to figure out what you would like to be doing for a longer period of time. So why not? You know, this is the best time to do it. You don't want to be doing this when you have a family to think of and when, you know, you have other responsibilities. Yes, you do have responsibilities in your 20s, but it's easier, especially when you're unmarried or whatever. It's easier to do all of these things in your 20s. And so I would say intern, you know, find somewhere to intern. And I know that I found a link. Well, I hope I remember earlier in the year about internships. And free and internships. I can't remember the way it was, but you know, it's internships, global internships. So you're working from home or working remotely, but they are global internships. So apparently, they're like institutions and organizations, whether they're non for profits who are looking for PR people or marketing people or content people. But you can put those things on your CV and say, I worked here, even though you worked remotely. So just intern, giving your hours to, you know, to developing yourself by interning. Very, very important, internships.
Fantastic, fantastic. Thank you so much, Tomi. Yeah. This has been such a meaningful as well as, you know, great time. I'm very sure that every single
thing
to you would, you know, we'll take a lot of things. I'm so grateful that you came on the show. Thank you so much for all you're doing, both in the decisions you're making in your life, you know, because people don't know how much their decisions affect the lives of other people. And the reason why we can have this conversation is because of the choices that you've made and your reason to be intentional. So I really applaud you for that. And I really, you know, congratulate you, and I hope for bigger things, that when we can come back, when you have, you know, you're now on another, you know, career trajectory, who knows, or whatever the situation is. So thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Is there anything
thank you for having me.
Say? Any final words?
Yes, I was going to say that I don't want my interview to sound like, you know, I have it all figured out, because I don't. So I'd also like to talk about the things that I'm currently, you know, aspiring to. So I've seen that, you know, some soft skills are necessary, you know, over the next decade when it comes to the future of work. I am looking at those soft skills and, you know, taking courses in them. So for instance, one huge one is emotional intelligence. So I have seen that many times I may not be empathetic towards people, like, well, not now, this is Tomi of maybe last year, because this year I think I've been quite empathetic. So being able to understand what other people want, putting yourself in other people's shoes, are the types of soft skills that organizations are also looking for. And it's not just organizations, it also helps in your personal relationships as well. So I'm also developing some certain soft skills that I didn't have before. So yes, so that nobody thinks that I'm a superhuman. I'm so far from it. So yes.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate that. We're all on a journey. Yeah, we're all on that journey. And it's always great to be able to be accountable to yourself about the things that you're not great at doing and to aspire to being, you know, much more than that. So thank you so much for sharing once again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Alrighty.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of What About Work podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. I would really love to hear from you. Kindly leave us a review wherever you're listening to us from, or send us a message on any of our social media platforms. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, at WA Work Podcast, at WA Work Podcast. Also, feel free to join our Facebook community at What About Work Podcast. I really cannot wait to hear from you. Have a great time. Bye.